eternal, ask that my words would. So my husband and I just got back last week from a beautiful vacation cruising around Italy. And our last stop, somebody's saying yay back there. Our last stop was in the city of Venice. We got off the cruise ship and went and stayed two nights in a hotel in Venice. But when we got to the hotel, it was going to be several hours before the room was ready. So we said, okay, well, let's just walk around Venice and just explore Venice. It's an amazing city, and I highly recommend going there if you ever have the opportunity. But it is an old city with little tiny streets and alleyways. They don't allow cars in the city, in the old part of the city. In fact, the Amazon delivery guys are in these specially designed carts because every once in a while you have to go up the stairs and down the stairs over a canal, and then you walk in a little alley, and then you go up the stairs and down the stairs over another canal. And you go down this alley and down that alley, and we were having so much fun. And then we realized we have to get back to the hotel, and we have no idea where we are. So hooray for Google Maps. We got out our phone and Google mapped and GPSed our way back. And that made me think about our lesson today. Paul is looking for direction from the Lord. He does not have Google Maps, but he has a GPS, a God-provided spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is guiding him throughout his journey. So as we pick up in Acts 16, I wanted to just spend a few minutes in review of where have we come from, because not all of you were here last semester doing the first part of Acts. So, let's see. There we go. Okay. So, just this is a very quick overview of the first 15 chapters of Acts. The Holy Spirit is sent to the apostles, and we call that Pentecost. That was in chapter 2. So now the Holy Spirit dwells within the apostles and is guiding them. And Peter emerges as a leader in spreading the gospel. Then we see lots of opposition and the beginning of the martyrs. There's opposition initially from the Jewish leaders. They didn't like this new teaching that was going on. And they actually killed a few of the apostles and disciples, James and then Stephen. And then Saul, later called Paul, is seen persecuting the church. But Jesus speaks to him, and he converts, and now is prominent in spreading the gospel. Peter is the first one to take the gospel to a Gentile. That was the story of Cornelius. I'm skipping fast here. After that, we see the church in Antioch begin to emerge, and Barnabas is there and says they need more teaching. And he remembered Paul, or at that time he was called Saul, went and got Saul and brought him back to Antioch. And then we see the first missionary journey of Barnabas and Saul, and I think it's on that journey that he begins to be called Paul. They're taking the gospel out to people who are not necessarily Jews. And there's a lot of discussion about should these new converts following Jesus follow all the Jewish laws, including circumcision, including the dietary laws, etc. And there's a council, the Jerusalem Council, where the leaders of the church are brought together. They listen to Peter. They listen to Paul. They come up with a letter saying, these are the only things you need to follow. Like, don't eat food that's been sacrificed to idols. Don't eat food that was strangled. Abstain from sexual immorality. Things like that. And then Barnabas and Paul were on a journey with a young man named Mark. And there was a little argument about whether or not they should bring Mark with them again, because Mark had left them partway through the first missionary journey. And they argued enough that Paul and Barnabas separated. And that's where we pick up now. So let's take a look at a map. I like maps. The purple circle is the extent of the first missionary journey. They went through Tarsus, Derbe, Iconium, all those hard to pronounce words, names, and then they went back through them again. They visited them once, set up a church, and then went back and kind of established the church. They're back at Antioch. You can see the green circle is where Antioch is. And now they're getting ready to go on the second missionary journey. Paul takes with him Silas, and Barnabas is off with Mark doing something that Luke didn't write about. We don't know exactly what was happening there. The red line shows the second missionary journey. I'm sorry that I'm... Yeah. Okay, see if that works better. The red line is the second missionary journey. You can see he starts going back to those same churches they'd visited initially, or planted initially, and he's visiting them, encouraging them, strengthening them. And then he goes off, we're going to read in a minute. He wants to go to Asia, but it says he's prevented from going to Asia. So he kind of winds his way around, and I looked at a couple of different maps. This one is maybe not entirely accurate. He probably went along the coastline up there and ended up in Troas, and then continued around lots of different places. He does end up going to Asia, to Ephesus, and then back around. It ends up back eventually in Antioch. So that just gives you a little bit of a visual of where they're going. In the town of Lystra, that's in the initial part of the journey, he'd been to Lystra before. He goes to Lystra and he finds Timothy. And before they, oh, he's going to come help me. Okay. I just have too much on my neckline there. Okay, hopefully this will be better. So Timothy, he was considered a half-Jew because his mother was Jewish, his father was Greek. You studied that in your discussion groups. And he was not circumcised. And Paul circumcised Timothy. Is Paul being inconsistent? He had just in chapter 15 argued in the Jerusalem council, believers don't have to be circumcised. Why did he circumcise Timothy? Not for salvation. He did not need to be circumcised for salvation. But Paul knew he was heading out into communities of Jews. And Timothy would have been considered unclean because he was not circumcised. So there were people, Jews, that Paul wanted to bring the gospel to who would not have wanted Timothy in their home without being circumcised. So this act of circumcising Timothy was to enable ministry, to further the spread of the gospel. I think it's important that we understand it was not an issue of salvation. Okay. They travel on. And they end up in Troas. And one of the women in my discussion group, and maybe some of you in your discussion groups, pick this up also. There's a word change. Who can tell me who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Okay. Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in verse 9, he's been writing along, they went here, they went there, they did this. Verse 8 is, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. In verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, after Paul had seen the vision, we, got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea. What does that tell you? Luke has now joined the group. He's changed the pronoun from they to we. So he joined in Troas. And maybe that's why the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go into Asia right now. I need you to go up here to Troas, pick up Luke, who wrote more words of the New Testament than anyone else. And some scholars believe, we know that Luke is a doctor, a physician. Some scholars think that Paul picked him up as his personal physician to help him along the way. So if Paul had not paid attention to the Holy Spirit and not gone where he wanted to go, but where the Holy Spirit wanted to go, maybe Luke would not have ever joined. God had a different plan. Okay. So rather than go verse by verse, because I think you've done that in your discussion groups, I want to focus the rest of my teaching today just on some themes, some big themes that we see in chapter 16. So let's take a look. Okay. So the first is that we see an expansion of where the gospel is spread. Paul has traveled much farther in this missionary journey than any time before. And the fact that Paul and Barnabas separated meant that now we have two teams going and spreading the gospel. We don't exactly know where Barnabas went, but other places than where Paul was going. So we have a big expansion geographically. Paul is expanding his own team. He's added Timothy, he's added Luke, and probably lots of others that we don't even know about. So again, this theme of expanding. And Paul includes women in his teaching. I don't know if any of you talked about this in your discussion groups, but when he got to Philippi, this major city in Macedonia, there were not enough Jewish men in that city to have a synagogue. I read that if there were 10 Jewish men, then they would establish a synagogue. Regardless of how many women there are, there had to be 10 Jewish men to establish a synagogue. So there was no synagogue in Philippi. But Paul and his group knew, if I go down by the river, there might be some people, some Jewish people that he could talk to. Well, there was a group of women praying. What does that tell you about the power of women praying? We can do mighty things. And Paul sees that women are important enough to stop and spend time teaching them. In the culture at that time, women were not considered very important. They didn't have a lot of rights. Their testimony in court was not considered viable. But Paul saw them as important enough to stop, and he spent several days teaching with them. Lydia was the first of the group to be a convert, but we read later there's a church in her home. So she's now got many people believing and meeting with her. We see the Holy Spirit acting in some ways that we haven't necessarily seen the Holy Spirit act previously. The Holy Spirit is very clear in telling Paul where he can go and where he cannot go. There was nothing wrong with Paul wanting to go into the province of Asia. God's timing just wasn't right. And Paul responded well. He didn't insist on his own way. He followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit protecting Paul from something? We don't know, maybe. He was certainly adjusting the timing of when and where Paul went. we see the Holy Spirit opening hearts and minds. We read that Lydia had her heart opened by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does that today. We talked in the discussion group I sat in that the Holy Spirit is still doing that today. We can't really understand the truth and know the truth of Jesus without the Holy Spirit opening our heart, opening our minds, opening our eyes to see and to understand the truth. There was the action of the miraculous earthquake in the prison when Paul and Silas were in the prison. There was a big earthquake. Well, that wasn't an accident, you know. That was supernatural, you know, through the Spirit and the opening of the chains and all. That was an act of the Holy Spirit. So we will continue to see the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Acts, prominent and acting in a variety of different ways. And then we see opposition, and opposition has always been there. I mean, Jesus was killed. There was opposition, right? And then to the spreading of the gospel, there's been resistance. The first missionary journey, Paul would often, he had a habit of going to the synagogue, speaking to the Jews first, because he could speak about the prophecies in the Old Testament. That was something that he could connect easily with the Jews on. But there would often be followed by opposition from the Jewish leaders. They didn't like this threat to their authority, this questioning of the old way. And they would chase them out of the town or beat them or stone them, many different things. And we see that continuing. In chapter 16, kind of a new and different way, through this demonic spirit in the young woman, the girl. Even the demons know who Jesus is and announce. When Jesus was ministering, he often had spirits or demons that would say, you know, you are the Son of God. Well, Christianity does not need the demons telling people who Jesus is. Jesus and the Holy Spirit can communicate that quite well without the demons. And depending on your translation, you may hear that Paul grew tired or Paul was annoyed, or I can't think right now of what other words were used there, but he got frustrated with this woman, not because she was speaking the truth. She was speaking the truth. These men are of God. But we don't want the message of God connected with demonic powers. So Paul said, get out, to the demon. There were crowds that opposed Paul and his group. Initially, it was the owners of this slave girl who were opposing Paul, who were angry. But then the whole crowd joined in. There's a lot that we could spend some time talking about crowd mentality here. But yes, often the one person can get a whole crowd riled up. This crowd was opposing Paul and the group that he was with. And then there were the local magistrates who had them thrown in jail. You know, the magistrates could have said, oh, you people just settle down, let these men go on their way. But no, the magistrates put them in jail. So opposition from a variety of places to the spreading of the gospel. But how did God use that opposition? They were in the jail. The other prisoners, someone pointed out, the verse says, Paul and Silas were singing hymns and the other prisoners were listening. So the other prisoners are now getting exposed to the gospel. The jailer who comes in and confesses, and then he goes home and his whole household hears the gospel and believes and is saved. So God is not going to be thwarted by opposition, not in the Acts time and not today. In today's world, there's a lot of opposition to Christianity. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's right up front. No, you can't talk about God in your classroom. You know, things are more obvious. Sometimes it's just very subtle. More like we were talking in my discussion group, that things like, well, Christians can read the astrology news and talk about astrology, or, you know, maybe Christians wear crystals around their neck to protect them from the evil spirits. No, it's not Jesus, and I can do all this other stuff too. That's a more insidious opposition to the gospel, because we know the truth is it's only Jesus and nothing else, nothing else. So as we look at chapter 16, those were the themes that stood out to me. And we've seen Paul now on the big map. I'll go back. I think I can go back. He's traveled, well, we don't get all of this in chapter 16, but this eventually we'll get to. Paul traveling all over that portion of the Mediterranean Sea, spreading the gospel, going to places that had never heard about Jesus. The opposition to the Jews centuries earlier had spread Jews all over the world, the exile. And then there was the expulsion of the Jews from Jerusalem. They got spread out again. So there are places where people understand the concept of a Messiah, and there are places where people had no idea of a Messiah or a one God. Both the Greeks and the Romans were multi-god, you know, I can't think of the right word, but many gods. And this idea that there's only one true God, that's a new concept. And Paul will be bringing that throughout his journeys. So as we read through the remaining chapters in the book of Acts, we want to think about those themes of, in what ways is the gospel being spread, is the expansion. We go all the way back to chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus before he ascends to heaven. He says, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And we saw that in the next chapter at Pentecost. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." To the ends of the earth. Well, we're just seeing that begin, and we'll continue to read how the gospel is expanding throughout the world. And today, we're the ones expanding the gospel, expanding the reach of the gospel, whether that's to our own family or our next door neighbor, or you go on a mission trip somewhere far away. We're all ambassadors for Christ, spreading the gospel. So this was short today, but I'm going to close now. Lord, thank you for giving us the stories, the examples for us to be bold, to stand firm, and to share the good news of the gospel with all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.